Last sermon in the series on Advent, and we'll wrap up the biblical narrative with regard to the coming of Christ. We talked about angels and the glory of the Lord and the heavenly host shown upon all the people. We've talked about the announcements at the beginning, and now we get to the final portion of the narrative where Simeon is the one who actually declares that this is the Christ. And sometimes we glance over that in the scripture because it's, you know, Simeon, it's a name, and we don't know who Simeon is, but if we understand who Simeon really is, this is a huge announcement for Israel. In my estimation, Simeon was probably the most important person in the temple. He had the credential, he had the background, he had the audience of Israel because he was at the temple and he served and he was at the very end of his life. And there was a prophecy regarding the fact that Jesus was going to come, the Christ would come, and that Simeon would not die before he saw the Christ. And he says here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, I have seen your salvation. Now I want to step back. Verse 29, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. He had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the Christ to appear. And this whole Advent season, we're celebrating the coming of our Christ, our Lord. And now Simeon, who is essentially the last announcer that Israel is all waiting with anticipation. We know the brutal outcome that came after this. And yet Israel was eyes wide open when it came to who this was. Because finally Simeon says, as they all knew that was prophesied in the Old Testament, everyone within the community of Israel, particularly the religious leaders and the priests and the rabbis, they knew exactly what to expect when the Christ came. And when Jesus came, it threw them completely off guard. You know why? Because he was born in a manger. And how could God, the creator of heavens and earth, allow his only son to be raised up by poor people and birthed in a stable? How could this happen? It's unclean according to Jewish tradition. And yet, here it was. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you've promised. I have seen your salvation, which you've prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And Jesus' appearance at the temple was in accordance with the law that every firstborn male child is to be dedicated to the Lord in a certain time frame. And this is what was happening at this point. Jesus was brought to the temple. Now, there were three acts associated with this. One was the purification of Mary after 40 days of giving birth. And then there's the presentation, the firstborn, as we just described. And then the second one is the dedication of the firstborn to the Lord's service. Now, I know that all of you take these passages very seriously. And I'm not talking about schedules and how we do baby dedications and all those, because we certainly do those, and that's wonderful. But for me and my house, it was important for me that I dedicated my firstborn son, Caleb, to the Lord on the first Sunday that he was alive. Literally. I didn't wait for the time frame because we don't practice Jewish traditions. The Lord sees the heart now. So when Caleb was just born, do you remember, Darcy, what day he was born? A Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe? It wasn't very long. The first Sunday he was dedicated. Because I take this seriously. God sees that I'm honoring him with my family and with my life, as you have and as you do. And so we were following along in a loose way, not according to the law, but according to pleasing the Lord and announcing that my son and my family are dedicated to him. Everything that Jesus did was according to the law. He had to do everything to the letter. That's why he didn't become a preacher until he was 30. Why is that? Because that's when Jewish people have their priests anointed. And so Jesus literally was a priest at that point. And he did it in accordance with the law. And as I said earlier, Simeon was a respected leader in Israel. All indeed were listening to him when he spoke, no one could argue with Simeon whatsoever. And he said something that was very interesting. In his heart, he said, you know, he spoke out. He said to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. But there's something even more fascinating that I never saw in this way until we come at the text with different eyes every time. And that is this issue of light. Notice there in verse 32, he is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Did you know that all the folks, the gospel writers, and Paul in the New Testament, they all said that people that don't know Christ are living in darkness? The Bible over and again assumes and says repeatedly that people that are not God's people live in darkness and that they need to be exposed to the light. And these are Simeon's most powerful words. And imagine that we live our lives and we want to please God with him and we want to do what the Lord wants us to do with regard to his will in our lives. But realize that the beginning of this is seeing the light. Jesus is referenced to repeatedly as the light of the world. We sing about him in various songs and hymns about being the light out of the darkness. In fact, Israel was perceived at this point in history that they were living in darkness under this cloud of Roman rule. And so Jesus was going to lead them out of the darkness. And so all the turmoil that was happening in Israel was because there was division about who he really was. How could the Christ be this person that was raised in a manger by poor people? And we don't even know for sure. Yes, now Joseph and Mary were married. But how could Mary be born? How could Jesus be born of a virgin? This is preposterous. And there was all this division going on within Israel, this turmoil, again, that the scripture in the Old Testament said would occur. In fact, it says that Jesus was going to be a stumbling block, not only to Israel, but all the nations. And part of the reason it is so is because of the way in which he came. But no one could argue with Simeon's word at all. He was one of the most respected men of all of Israel. And he's announcing that Jesus is the Christ. And he calls him the light. He is the light to reveal God to the nations. In Luke, we find, because of God's tender mercy, this is the actual scripture here, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Notice the implication that one who's living in darkness is affected by a lack of peace. Something just isn't right. There's not this sense of fulfillment that every time I buy something or every time I get a promotion or every time I get a better job or if I have this or I have that, there'll be some sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. And ultimately, we have all heard about the God-shaped hole in the heart that only he can fill. That's how we were created. And so this light is our guide. Do you understand? Like a flashlight, the guide to peace and essentially eternal life. And that's who Christ is. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Christ must be premier. And as we as God's people agree to that, let us all say amen. So I haven't done this before, so we have another year of beginnings. As Simeon makes the announcement to Israel that this is the Christ, this candle is called the candle of Christ, and it's something that we add because we're not necessarily an ecumenical church, and I'm not going to get into what all that means, but it's pastoral. And so I wanted to light the candle today for you in a pastoral way, and that God has given us this opportunity to light the Christ candle, and I'm announcing that Jesus is the Christ in accordance with the scripture. It says that Jesus' parents were amazed at what he was saying about him, or what they were saying about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Today I light the candle of Christ." This is not a ritual. This is not a something that we do that's some superpower or spiritual. No, it's a memorial. Advent is memorial. It reminds us. Reminds us of who Jesus is. There's nothing ethereal about lighting the candles. It's a special time for us to reflect and to be thankful to God. And so, I'm going to pray for us in a second here. And then we'll continue in our worship. In Isaiah 60:1, it says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine upon you." And this light that the candle that we just lit is that representation. It's a reminder of verses like this. And that now the light is shining upon us. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. It's an honor. Recall that light drives out darkness. And Jesus is now recognized as the light of the world. And this metaphor is essential because we who know Christ are children of the light. John said that. Paul said that. Peter said it. Other the disciples. Others see Jesus because of the light that we bring. And that light is not only the light of salvation as we find in the scripture, but it is hope. And the last generation and this generation, there is a startling lack of hope. Why do you think there's all this division and all these different ideas and everyone's at each other's throats? Because they're all maneuvering for position and power and resources. And really what we need is a guide to the path of peace. And the scripture declares that this is our Lord, who is our hope. In John 8, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Notice what is being said here, that it's Jesus, the light, who leads to life. What life really is knowing him and being known by him. That light leads not only to life here on earth, but of course, eternal life with him. One's walk with God and faithful service to him are what define everything else about life. Many times I've said that the only reason that I have any reasons in my life for sure are because of him. I have no reasons. Yes, I have my beautiful wife and my beautiful children, and I have you as friends and folks here at church, and it's all wonderful and great, but he has to be the source of all of my reasons. And the reasons why I do everything is because why? The light of the Lord has been brought into my heart as yours. And so now I've lived my life for the glory of God the best I know how. And I'm not perfect, and we all fail. And that's the whole point of this season. Remember, Jesus came to bring us peace, not conflict, not shame, not even guilt. Peace. In Romans 2:4, it says, "Don't you know that it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance?" And so we want to praise the Lord for his goodness. We want to praise the Lord for peace. And maybe tomorrow around the tree when you open presents and share gifts, you remember the greatest gift and you're dancing and say, "Woohoo! I've been wanting this all year," and we get a present and it's all great. But remember why we're standing in front of the tree. The greatest gift that was ever given was given by our Father in heaven, our Lord. And like Simeon and Anna, can you live your whole life discovering and learning to be content with doing God's will? If you can, you will have peace.